For War News Radio at Swarthmore College, I'm Tyler Welsh.
And I'm Leo Elliott.
Nigeria says it has ousted Boko Haram from Bama, the second biggest city in Borno State. Boko Haram now maintains a significant presence in just three Nigerian government districts. At the start of this year, the group controlled some 20 areas, about the size of Belgium. Military leaders say they hope to secure the remaining territory in time for elections. Elections, now scheduled for March 28th, pit President Goodluck Jonathan against Muhammadu Buhari, a former military ruler of Nigeria campaigning on his security record. Nigeria postponed the original February 14th election day due to security concerns. 15,500 people have died in the conflict since 2012.
The Islamic State recently attacked oil fields, hospitals, and other major infrastructures in Libyan cities as civil war continues. In the coastal city of Sirte, 20 foreign hospital staffers were kidnapped and then released under the conditions that they would treat members of the militant group. As conflicts between the Islamic State and fighters loyal to the government in Tripoli intensify in Sirte, many families have fled to Misrata, a stronghold of Libya Dawn, an armed group that supports the Tripoli-based government. In February, 21 Coptic Christians from Egypt were kidnapped and killed in Sirte. Both of the warring Libyan parties are still struggling to push the Islamic State from its local bases.
Iraq has paused the Tikrit offensive against ISIS. Deputy Minister of Defense Ibrahim Al-Lami says Iraqi forces need air support from their partners before they take additional action. Over 20,000 Iraqi security forces and Iranian Shiite militia participated in the Tikrit offensive, making it the largest operation against ISIS to date. It is also the first attempt to oust ISIS from a fortified urban center. If the attack is successful, it could provide a model for the battle for Mosul, the center of ISIS operations in Iraq. A Pentagon spokesperson says no airstrikes have been conducted by the United States in support of Tikrit operations.
The Syrian state news agency Sana has claimed that the Syrian military shot down a U.S. Predator drone. U.S. officials have confirmed that they lost contact with an MQ-1 Predator over the city of Latakia in northwest Syria. Latakia is a port city known as a stronghold for the Assad regime, and is far from opposition and Islamic State presences. Syria has not attacked a U.S. aircraft since the start of coalition strikes against the Islamic State, actions that Syria itself has not participated in. Although the U.S. and Syria have found a common enemy in the Islamic State, this news could demonstrate an unwillingness to relax tensions between the two nations themselves.
At least 23 people were killed at the Bardo Museum in Tunis after an attack by two gunmen identified as Tunisian citizens. The Islamic State has claimed responsibility, but links between the suspected shooters and ISIS are unclear. Following the Bardo shooting, locals took to the streets to protest acts of terrorism. While Tunisia has been relatively peaceful in comparison with other Arab Spring countries, this is not the first attack in recent memory. Islamic extremists killed 45 people last year, and the death toll this year has already reached 23. Tunisian authorities say as many as 4,000 Tunisians have joined extremist groups in Syria and Iraq. It estimates that 500 have returned home to Tunisia.
Hundreds of thousands of protesters took to the streets in Brazil against corruption and economic conditions, with many calling for President Dilma Rousseff's impeachment. The country is currently experiencing the highest inflation in 10 years, and its currency has lost over 22% of its value against the dollar this year alone. In addition to presiding over a struggling economy, President Rousseff and her party, who narrowly won re-election 5 months ago, have recently experienced a damaged reputation from what has come to be known as the Petrobras scandal. Within the last few months, members of the ruling Workers' Party have been accused of corruption for accepting kickbacks from Petrobras executives in exchange for contracts. Protesters blame Rousseff for lax leadership as she was chairwoman of Petrobras before becoming president. In response to the protests, Justice Minister Eduardo Cardoso has announced a package of measures to tackle corruption and impunity.
This week, War News Radio is presenting the first content from one of our partner radio stations, Yatsani FM in Lusaka, Zambia. War News Radio has formed a partnership with Yatsani FM through the support of Bill Siemering and Charles Rice at Developing Radio Partners, a U.S.-based nonprofit media development organization that works with local radio stations in developing countries and provides them with the skills needed to bring reliable information to those who need it most. We bring to you this week content from reporter Maibin Katungulu on climate change funds from Oxfam not reaching local communities in Zambia.
In Zambia, recent findings show that $25 million United States dollars had been approved through multilateral public climate funds for the country. For instance, much higher amounts of funding has been pledged through the Pilot Program for Climate Resilience, PPCR. Now, Oxfam Zambia has observed that climate change funds are not reaching local communities mainly affected by the problem. Ms. Mutintanketani is the organization's livelihoods project manager.
Even the funds that are coming from the people that are mainly responsible for greenhouse gas emissions are not giving enough to allow communities that are being affected to adapt or to build resilience, to be able to continue depending on their livelihoods. So it's generally agreed that the resources reaching the local levels are not sufficient.
Meanwhile, Eastern and Southern Africa Small-Scale Farmers Forum has called for the involvement of communities in tracking funds meant for climate change adaptation or resilience. Country coordinator Simon Mwamba urges civil society organizations to raise awareness among the communities on climate change projects and funding.
And that is our role as civil society, that we need to tell people, if there is this project coming, this is the information, this is the money that is involved. It's only then that the farmers would be able to help us with this budget tracking.
Certainly, with the increase of both local and international funding towards climate change adaptation programs, the need for communities who are greatly affected to be involved cannot be overstressed. Reporting from Lusaka, my name is Maybin Augustine Katungulu.
You just listened to a piece from our partner radio station, Yatsani FM in Zambia.
Our behind-the-scenes crew this week includes Mayank Agrawal, Amy DiPiero, Jay Clayton, John Gagnon, Allison Raybar, Namat Kaur, Catherine Kwok, Sabrina Merrill, Joseph Millman, Amber Sheth, and Carlo Civilati. I'm Tyler Welsh.
And I'm Leo Elliott. Until next time, thanks for listening.